Well, I'm thankful tonight for the goodness of the Lord. I'm glad that I'm saved. People think sometimes that somehow Christians do what they do because they have to. I don't do anything because I have to. I do it because I want to. I come to Holly Hill because I wanted to. That's why I come. The reason why I do the things following the Lord is because I want to. That's why I do them. I can quit. I don't have to do it. But I do it because I find value in it. And it's the way I want to live my life. I find the Lord true. Find the things of God right. I believe that there is something. If there wasn't something beyond this life, I'm not sure how I'd live. Even though I can tell you that I think living for the Lord is the best way to live life, but I don't know if I can hold the convictions without there being something more. And I'm thankful that there is something more tonight. And I wanted to start with a scripture in Revelations, in the 22nd chapter, in the 12th verse. It says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." A reward. I really believe tonight that there is a reward in God. I believe He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I think there's a value to doing what we do, to following the Lord. Sister Purvis, you be faithful and there'll be one day that you'll see 2020. Yes, amen. Sister Lily Jane, there'll be a time your feet won't hurt anymore. Brother Alvoid, you're not going to be limping around and hobbling around one of these days. You be faithful to the Lord, there's a reward. Yeah. Sister Marie, you're not going to have the troubles that you're having. You be faithful. Yeah. You see, and there's something that the Lord's promised this year. That's why these things of Paul, I think the Apostle Paul said, "My light affliction, which is but for a moment." Because it don't measure up to the grand things of God. It don't measure up to what I'm going to get over there. Just a little thing, and I'm going to go just a little while here. No doubt we've all had some of those kind of places. And I'll be honest with you, and I don't always think it's the right way to do it, but sometimes when things get real hard and real difficult, sometimes heaven gets a lot brighter to me. Sometimes I'm thinking when it's just real, you get like that, I'll say, one of these days I'm not going to be having to fool all these things around here. One of these days I'm going to get my reward. And there's a reward for the righteous. And God will be faithful. God will be faithful to us all the way through. Don't really matter at what point in life you get taken out of here. It's whether you've been faithful at the time and being true at the time. And there's a reward for that. Don't forget there's a reward tonight for the things of God. There is a reward. The Lord said to those that would give a cool glass of water in the name of disciple wouldn't lose their reward. God's looking down and He appreciates faithfulness. He appreciates those that call on the name of God, that glorify the name of the Lord. He looks down and He appreciates those things. And He's going to reward you for being faithful. You're going to have your reward. But this scripture said His reward would be with Him and He would give according every man as his works shall be. So there's a reward for the righteous, but there's also a reward for the unrighteous. There is a due coming. And I want to look at it a little bit tonight. Sister Mary preached to us this morning about being thankful. She used the scripture in 2 Timothy 3 And I want to use it too, but I'm going to do, it's not thankfulness that I want to talk about. But there's another word in here. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetousness, boasters, proud. I want us to remember the word proud. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I want to think a little bit tonight about pride. Oh, I suppose to every degree that a person's had pride somewhere or another in their life, probably, had to deal with. You might say, well, rich people are proud people. You know, you don't have to be rich to be proud. Well, you say capable people are proud. You know, you don't have to be capable to be proud either. You might say an educated person would be maybe a proud person. You know, you don't have to be educated. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have money. And you don't have to have talent to be proud. It's amazing sometimes what people are proud of. But people have it is a human thing to be proud. But proud is a dangerous thing. Being proud is a thing that causes much trouble. The definition of it is to have an exalted opinion of oneself, or an exalted opinion of what one can do, or have an exalted idea of accomplishment. To be proud. I think of it being more than just me looking down my nose, so to speak, at my fellow man, but I think of it as being able, actually exalting myself. When you do, you actually exalt yourself in the face of God. What do you really have to stand before God with? Really, what can any of us take of ourselves and go and say to the Lord, I've got something? First of all, if you've got anything, it comes from the Lord anyway. But who could possibly stand themselves up, square their shoulders up, and act like they've got something that would be worth having pride over in the sight of God? But what is the awful thing about it is when people become proud, they are actually saying to God that in some way they're diminishing Him. Somehow they're more than what He said they was. You know that everybody in here is valuable. You are very valuable because the Lord Jesus died for you. He paid a ransom for you. I know that you're valuable, but do you know that you're not more important than I am? Now, I know that's hard for some of you to believe, because not him, too. Yes, even me. Do you know God made all people the same? I know better than somebody. They're no better than me. Sometimes we can get that idea. Or maybe I say, I've been saved for 26 years. I've been preaching for 16 years or so or more. I've been full-time for that long. And I think about 18 years been preaching. I must be something by now. You know what it'll teach you? It'll teach you just how much you aren't something. That's what it'll do. And the Lord wants us to really get a hold, I believe, of something tonight, that the key to our success is in our humility. In our really being able to humble ourselves before the Lord. Because the Lord will not, He said, a humble and a contrite heart He would not despise. God is looking for the humble and the contrite. It means the needy. Do you know that Bill Gates, I suppose, tonight is one of the richest people in the world? And I can tell you right now, that man needs God. His money can't buy eternal things. His money can't buy happiness. He's got money and could buy most anything that earth can provide him. Jet planes, no doubt. He could probably buy islands in the Pacific somewhere. He could get a lot of things, but do you know he can't buy true satisfaction? He can't buy joy. He can't go to bed at night and put some coins into a machine and push peace out and get a good dose of that. It can't help the thing. Money won't buy those kinds. Does money buy respect and honor, integrity? The things that's valuable, how much does it? We all need a little, but you can't get that out of it. He may stand up and say, with his chest stuck out, I'm the richest man in the world, and that makes me something. But I beg the difference. It doesn't make you any more than God created you to start with. From dust you come, and dust you shall return. Naked I came into the world, Job said, and naked I'll leave. He didn't come in with any money, and guess what? He'll not take any either. And you know you won't either. None of us will. Lord, help us to realize on a regular basis, I need the Lord. Today I feel good. Today I don't have the aches and pains. I have a lot of aches and pains in times, but I feel good. You know, I need the Lord today just as bad as I do when I'm aching and paining. It's just that I don't realize it as much. So Lord, help us to realize how to humble ourselves before the Lord. You know what the answer to most all your questions, most of your difficulties really is to humble yourself before the Lord. So often we strive with the Lord. We struggle with the Lord. Or we struggle with the people around us. I had a brother up in our congregation that had a good saying. He was in the military. He said they taught him in the military, they'd make them get down and crawl, and they'd have a machine gun lined up right in over top of their heads. And it'd be shooting the brother, and they would tell them when they crawl through there to keep your head down. He said, you want to stay alive, keep your head down. Well, they taught them that for war. And in war, they had a saying, if you want to live, keep your head down. You're out there in a foxhole, stick your head up, you're going to get shot. And when we'd get into certain things or there'd be an issue come up, he'd usually bring out this saying he had, if you want to live, get your head down. Humble yourself. Get down as low as you can get. Humble yourself before the Lord and let the Lord take care of your life. In Psalms, the 31st chapter of Psalms and the 23rd verse says, O love the Lord, all you ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Now I like that, and I believe it's true. I believe the Lord will preserve the faithful. I believe, I'll tell you, I honestly believe this, regardless of what failures you may have in life, or no matter what else may come in life, I believe if you have an honest heart towards God tonight, that God will make a way for your salvation. I'm not afraid to put any honest soul in the hands of God and leave them there. I don't have to counsel them all the time. I don't have to tell them what to do or how to do it, how to dress, how to walk, what to read, what to watch, what to do. If your honest soul, truly an honest heart, God will preserve you. And God will work with you. And He'll lead you. And He'll guide you into every truth you need to know. If you have an honest and a humble heart. Humble enough to be able to realize, I need help from the Lord. Now, I don't remember whether it was Brother Sammons or Brother Tony. They both were barbers. But one of them told the story when they went to barber school. It seems like it was Brother Mart. They went to barber school, that the instructor said, first of all, how many people in here know how to cut hair? Well, there were several of them raised their hands, and surely thinking that that would be impressive. I know how to cut hair. But the instructor said, okay, you all that raise your hand, forget about what you know. They're going to have to forget that you know anything now, or you're not going to be able to learn anything. Do you know that if you already know everything, you don't, there's no way for you to learn. You already know it. You know, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge, Lord, I don't know how to go to heaven. You know, honestly, this is an amazing book because the smartest people in the world get nothing from it. The most intelligent, the most learned can read this. They understand the way it was written. They can understand the history. They can understand the verbiage of it. They can understand. They can go through all that. But you know, they can't get what it really means. Because it was spiritually written. And it's got to be spiritually discerned. And you have to have a life behind it to realize what it really means and what they really... And the Lord made it that way in His wisdom.
You know, the best ones to be able to understand this are the humble. Oh, Lord, humble our heart that we might be able to understand Your Word. That I don't know everything about life. But the Lord will keep those, I believe. He'll preserve the faithful. And it says, and plentifully reward the proud doer. The proud doer. That's fearful. Not just reward them, but He said they'll be plentifully. Do you know that they will have an abundance of their reward? This isn't talking in the positive. It's in the negative. That the proud's going to get double portions of what they got coming to them. I'm not sure of the date. Sister Mary may know it. But there was some folks got together one time and built them a great big old ocean liner. A big old ship, and they really bragged that thing up. And they named it the Titanic. And probably, it's been over 100 years since that ship sailed. And it only sailed once. And it's still being talked about today. It made quite a splash, pardon the pun. But it's known, the story is out there. And you know why? It's because they talked it up so high. They made such a big deal about it. Men were going to build a ship. Now this was like no other ship had ever been made. This was a floating paradise. It was very rich. It was very fancy. It was eloquently done. It was made for the rich people. It was made for those. It took a lot of money to ride on that thing. And they started saying words like unsinkable. This ship is unsinkable. Folks, there's only one ship unsinkable. Only one that's unsinkable. It's the old ship of Zion. Now, there's some things that I can put my boast on. I can put my boast on the Lord. He ain't going down. And His ship's not going down. But they made this one, and with all of human intelligence, said, we've done it right. We've done it right. We've double-walled it. We've made it to you could shut one hatch on the bottom, and if it did something, spring a leak, you could shut. They done all that they could do to keep. Now, this ship was unsinkable. So we dare. We're going to dare. We're going to dare icebergs. We're going to dare them to be in our way. We're going to dare the elements. You do what you can to this ship, for this ship is an unsinkable ship. So they did. There was a statement I hear. I thought maybe Sister Mary mentioned it. But somebody made the comment that God Himself couldn't sink this ship. Now what a statement for a human to make. That God Himself couldn't ship or sink a little old ship that a person made. Do you know what you really are in the sight of God? You can't measure that little, Sister Judy. You tried. But that don't do it either. How little, how feeble, how insignificant we are to stick out our chest and boast against the Lord. That God, I would be so fearful. I'm going to tell you, if you got that kind of notions about any kind of boat that you built, you let me know, because I'm not crawling in under any circumstances. I don't want in that one. That God can't seek it. If you remember the story, they sailed. Made a big deal. And it was to be break some time records. They was really going to go on this. They got into an area and they got a warning saying icebergs in the area. Icebergs don't mean anything to us. We'll go right on there. I want to stop just a minute and tell you this tonight, folks. Our waters are full of icebergs tonight. There is so many obstacles to your salvation tonight. that you aren't able. I know we can think, no. I've lived some life and I know what that I can do. Well, I had that opinion one time. That I'd just be able to do anything for the Lord. Had that in my mind. And I was trying to build a frame, and I had some rough 2x6, and they were oak. And I was trying to drive spike nails through these things. And anybody that's tried that knows it's a chore, try to drive through this dried oak. And I had a big old ball peen hammer, and I was putting them in there, and so I was holding it in the corner like this right here, and I was really hitting it as hard as I could hit it, and my hammer slipped and hit the end of my finger. And it split my finger like a hot dog. Just, it smashed it and split it right there, and I'm going to tell you, I jumped up in the air, and I hooted, and I hollered, and I danced around there, and just a short order, I was begging God. Begging God to take the pain away. And the Lord in the middle, I'm telling you right at the height of that, and I'm not too proud to tell you tonight that some tears was running. I was a hurting. And the Lord said, you can't take it if I don't do something. And instantly it went down and it just throbbing. And I was, thank the Lord. I'm telling you, you think you're something tonight? If the Lord pulls back, you can't take the pain in the end of your finger. It'd drive you completely mad. Just the end of your finger. And I would boast to say, I'm going to do something. No, I can say, I'm going to if the Lord helps me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, that helps me to do it. So there's icebergs tonight. There's all kind of opposition to your life tonight. There is in your life things that you can't forgive, you can't help, you can't do. There's bitternesses that you couldn't get rid of. There is things that would throw your life without God's direct intervention. There's icebergs. Who of us could say, I'm immune to them and I'm a running through? You'll find out something different. They found out something different on the Titanic. They ignored it. I think there was one report where a ship kept telling them, told them a number of times, there's icebergs in the area, and finally somebody told them to shut up. Would you all shut up? We don't want to hear it. Because the Titanic can't be sunk. So you all out there that's less than we are, you worry about your icebergs. Because we don't have to. But they hit an iceberg, didn't they? And do you know what? All those poor people that was on that ship that trusted in something, they trusted in something that was infallible, something that couldn't be sunk. They didn't take proper precaution. They didn't have proper care. I mean, really, folks, why put enough lifeboats on there for everybody when you're just doing it kind of for sight anyway? I mean, let's hang a few lifeboats out here. What difference does it make anyway? This can't sink. See? No precautions, no carefulness. It hit the iceberg, put a big gash down the side of the ship. The ship starts sinking. All those poor people on there that had given themselves to that and trusted in that, it can't be sunk. They listened, they heard all those things, was now going to perish. Could you imagine being out in the dark North Atlantic going down? They say that you could only last a few minutes in that water before you succumbed to hypothermia anyway. If you was in the water, you couldn't last long. You wasn't in a boat somewhere or something. So there was survivors, but many, many people lost their life there. What arrogancy. I don't know this. But I do wonder. I wonder if the Lord said, I'm not going to allow them by with that. I wonder if it could be the Lord said, I'm going to plentifully reward the proud doer. And showed those that had done it, you better not trust in yourself.
When I was growing up, there was a man in our community that he was a grown man and was probably in his 30s before I ever remember him much. But he was a man that was known in our around. He liked to drink. He carried on. He liked to build fast cars. He had been in, I don't know, somebody counted the wrecks he was in, and they was multiple wrecks that this man had been in, and he was the driver of the vehicle and where people died in the crashes that he had. But he always come out pretty well unhurt of all that. He built a car when I was a teenager, and somebody was saying something to him about the car, and he said, "Oh, not this one." He said, "This is the fastest car that I've ever had." He said, "This car will outrun the Word of God." Oh, folks, listen. What a foolish thing for a man to bow up himself against God Almighty. I know he didn't know probably what he was really saying. But this man had four boys. One was older than me by a couple years, and one was about my age. And then he had two little boys at the time, 9 and 10 years old. He was going up Holden Mountain behind on Route 20 behind our house and hit head on with a car coming down. He died there in the middle of the road. So didn't those two little boys. And all I remembered, even though I wasn't saved, what I remembered all those years, you can't outrun the Word of God, no matter how fast you think you can run. And pride is something God despises in people. To proclaim yourself that somehow there's something that you have beyond what God can do. Lord, help us tonight. Do you know the only help that we can get from the Lord is through faith and humility? To humble ourselves down before the Lord. Do you know there's not a person in this building tonight that didn't get saved when they humbled themselves? You can't get saved until you humble yourself down and recognize that, Lord, I'm lost, and without you I'll be lost forever. I need the Lord to do that for me in my life. I'm going to tell you something else. After you're saved, there's not a thing you can claim that says you had anything to do with salvation. Although we know we've got to make the choice, there wasn't anything we could do to save ourselves outside the Lord. No matter what choices I can make a choice to be saved separate of the Lord, and I can't save myself. You know, if He don't deal with you, you won't be dealt with. If God don't call you, you won't be called. If God don't take your sins away, they won't be took away. How desperately we need Him.
Yes, amen.
You know, you can die of great things, and you can die of small things too. It don't take a big thing to die. Some people just die. There's people that get a cold and die. There's people that get great things and accidents and people die in big plane crashes and all. You don't need to die in a plane crash, folks. You can go home tonight and just die. Every one of us need to realize that tonight. I can just die. I don't need no reason. I can walk across this yard tonight and die out here in the yard. There don't have to be a great reason to die. The Lord can take your breath from you anytime. Lord, help us that we not consider ourselves something beyond what we are. We're just people. We're just mortal. We're just humans. And we need God, and we need Him real bad. That scripture said in the last days people would be proud. I see it. I see it, Sister Mary, just like unthankful. I see it. People out there, they don't think they have to work for anything or they get everything handed to them. That people think that their son, all this goes together, and the people of our world are just feeling like that they're somehow some important something that everybody ought to pay attention to them. Why? One of the commentators said, "What do you have to be proud of?" Talking, of course, not by the saints, but of the world. What do you have to be proud of? A spirit of the devil? That's not impressive to God. Lord, help us that we humble ourselves before the Lord, acknowledging Him as God and Lord, You're God, and we're just Your servants tonight. Help me to be what You would have me to be in this world. There was a man in the Bible named Nebuchadnezzar. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Babylon, the Assyrian Empire, conquered the known world in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Great, fierce armies. And they conquered the known world. And Nebuchadnezzar, history tells, this is actually a part of history, not Bible history, this is actually a part of just history. Nebuchadnezzar supposedly had a wife that he got from another land. And she desired to be in that land. Well, he didn't take her back to the land. Instead, he brought the land to her. And he built this what was called the eighth wonder of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And it was supposedly a beautiful. He brought in the plants and he had water piped in even in that ancient day. And he made this beautiful garden, hanging gardens of all the trees and the plants and everything. And he had people that he got to take care of that. And he had a great kingdom. But Nebuchadnezzar, this is scripture, Nebuchadnezzar looks around one day and he says, "Boy, oh boy, ain't nobody like me. You look what I've done. Now, ain't nobody ever done what I've done. I really have done something. You look at what I've done. Look at what I've built. Ain't I something?" And you know the Lord did not appreciate that. Ala Nebuchadnezzar. Because the Lord looked down and said, "How foolish, Nebuchadnezzar, of you. I gave you life from your mother's womb." Who did that? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar didn't hear it, did he? The Lord gave him life. And no doubt there was many things through his life he could have died of. And the Lord said, "No, I want this man to live." Has anybody in here ever had a close call? Anybody in here ever say, "I could have died, but I didn't"? See, most everybody's saying, "Yeah," because you know that if you was this close to being in eternity. I've had a number of those kind of things happen to me that Lord, I was that close. I could have went out into eternity right there, that quick. But here's Nebuchadnezzar. He gets up and he builds something. I want to tell you something. I wonder if you could have said to old Nebuchadnezzar about that garden there, "Oh, that's a wonderful tree there you've got. How did you make that thing? How did you make that tree? Nebuchadnezzar, how did you make that vine like that? Oh, and that fruit on them, some of them trees over there. How did you get the sweetness in it like that? Nebuchadnezzar, how did you do that?" Nebuchadnezzar would be, "Well, you know, I'm not sure how that works." But he thought he was something, didn't he? Do you know, if we're not careful, we do the same thing in our lives? We take credit for things and no credit to take for it. You know what? You can't take credit for your own life and what you've done and what you've accomplished, because it's God that gave it to you. You know, remember what he did with Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar was like 7 years out in the field. He took his mind from him. Out there, he was like a beast of the field out there eating grass. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, you're really on top of things. You're somebody now. You're out there and his hair grew like feathers and his nails was like claws. You remember, just like a beast out there in the field. And he was out there until he knew that there was a God in heaven. He come back. He wasn't the same man he had went out there. All this boastful attitude about who I am and what I can do and how I build all these things. He was willing then to say, "God is God. God is God." We can say I'm pretty smart. We can say I'm pretty fast. We can say I'm able to do something. It was a little humorous to me, let's just say that. When somebody would seem act like to somebody else that they knew something that they didn't know. "I know something that you don't know. I know how to do something and you don't, so I'm better than you are." You know what? You wasn't born knowing that. You found out about it somewhere along the line. You wasn't born. You might be a great carpenter, but you wasn't born with a hammer in your hand. You wasn't born just knowing how to do it, and you didn't make yourself be born. You realize how much credit we owe God? He's everything to us. God takes credit for the poor and the rich. He made them both. God made the rich and the poor. God knows there's rich. God knows they're poor. God knows the span of your life and mine. Oh, we need to submit ourselves to the Lord. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Brother Ed Wilson told the story of a man that was building an oak staircase in a home. And he said he was trying to drive some finishing nails into some of the stair boards as they went up. And he kept bending them. They wouldn't drive in. Well, he said there was an old carpenter there that come along to this man and said to him, he said, young fella, he said, let me show you something. And said he pulled a piece of wax out of his pocket and he stroked that nail across it a few times and he put it down there and he drove it in. And he said, or better yet, let me show you something even better. And he went and got his nail gun and come up and ting, 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 ting. And said, here, said, try this for a little while. And he said, the feller took the air gun and he said, and handed it back to him. And he took the wax and he said, and handed it back to him and went on bending his nails and scarring up the wood. You know what, folks? Lord help us. There's better ways. You know, all that it would have been was to be able for that man to say, that old feller wasn't born with that gun in his hand. He didn't create it either. He had to learn how to use it too. Is it really a bad thing to make a mistake? Has anybody in here, except for me, made mistakes? Maybe everybody else hasn't. But you know what? The mistakes that I've made have helped me learn how to do it. Now I know that if I can get a hold of that nail gun, I'll get a hold of it. There's better ways of doing it. You know, there's better ways of dealing with each other. Folks, we don't have to have aughts among ourselves. We don't have to. There's a way of dealing with things. There really is. And sometimes an old head, somebody that's been there and done it, will come along and say, young fella, let me tell you how to do it. Let me tell you how to get along with your wife a little better. I'll tell you how to have a better peace in your congregation. Let me tell you how to do that. And if we ain't careful, go, I don't want, let me do it. I got to find out for myself. Let me do it myself. You know what we're better to do? We're better to humble ourselves down and say, thank you, Lord, for sending this brother whom you've already taught. And that can teach me, and now I can know better how to do those kind of things. If I'll just humble myself, I can receive the information. If I'll humble myself down, I can be able to do it. But if I don't, listen, if I don't, the Lord has promised that He would plentifully reward the proud doer. It means that there's going to be an awful lot of heartache come into that life. There's going to be an awful lot of fruit to the proud in heart. If you're proud tonight, you got pride in your heart, you're going to have an awful lot of fruit in there. I'm going to tell you what pride is to evil. It's a fertilizer. According to this scripture, pride is like a fertilizer to evil plants. It makes them grow and bear abundantly, plentifully. Pride. Pride will do that. There was a man where I lived there in Webster County. His name was Rex. Rex lived below us, and so when we had these hard rains, the water would come off of our place down our drive, and if it got too much and if the ditches wasn't cleared right, the water would go and run down on his place. And we always thought that's kind of what water does. It seemed like it always wants to find its way off of the hill down to the river. It always done it. We could never figure out why he was so upset about it. But one night, there come what we called a cloud burst. It seemed like the storm just stayed right there in one place and just rumbled and rained, and not just rained, just poured there. And we lived on the hill and never much worried about floods, but this time it was like rivers coming off beside, off the mountains on both sides of the house, and the water was going down and down, and of course, to Rex's place. And in the middle of the night, we saw a tractor. Here he come on his tractor, and he was a cussing, and he was a swearing, and we could see in the flashes of light him looking up in heaven and just a shaking his fist and a swore. And, you know, I wasn't even saved at the time. And there was something wrong with that. That somebody would challenge God. And just after he started doing that, we had them coming off both sides of the house, and the one that was on this side was going down to the other neighbor and across to the river. And about the time he started that, we noticed that this side stopped, which it was coming off of Route 20, and the culvert stopped on this side, and it all went down to him then. Just about the time he started doing that, and I always remembered that. He's down there shaking his fist at God. You know how foolish that is, folks? You know how easy God can stop a culvert? It isn't a big thing for God. I mean, God made the world. God split the Red Sea. God caused the sun to stop. God, and He can stop the culverts. You know what's a better way to do it? I wonder if possibly it could have happened in reverse if the man would have just dropped his head and said, "Lord, I'm a man in need. All my stuff is going to be destroyed, and you can stop culverts. Would you stop the one above my house?" You know God can do that. He rewards according to our works. I'm glad we all ought to keep an open place before the Lord that we could say, "I'm your servant, Lord. Whatever you want, but we have the right to say, Lord, I humble myself before you. I'm nothing." Do you know he fought that flood with a tractor? He never done anything with that tractor but cuss and go up through down there, and he tried to push some rocks and it washed away, and he'd push and try. He never accomplished anything with that tractor at all. But you know, God can. God can do miraculous things. So we trust in the Lord. Humble ourselves and acknowledge Him as God Almighty tonight. Lord, You're King of heaven and earth. You're ruler of earth and sky. Lord, You're everything. Lord, I want to humble myself before the great God of heaven. Submit myself to Him. He's able. There was a man in the Bible. I think Sister Mary mentioned him today. His name was Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. And he was from he wasn't an Israelite, but there was a servant girl, I think it was, that said, if my master was in the land of Israel, there's a prophet there that could recover him of leprosy. So they write to the king. Well, it wasn't the king that done it. They want to get in contact with this prophet that can do that. So they end up going in this, if you can picture it, this is the way I picture it, this big caravan. They was bringing all their riches, they was bringing the gifts to come, and he was pomp and show. And this man was a very important military man. This man was, he was somebody important. Understand what I'm saying? He's somebody important. And he come. He was captain, right? He's an important man. A captain's an important man. So he comes to the prophet's house. And I'm here. Where's your prophet? Where's the prophet? So he don't even come outside. He don't even come out and see the guy. And I know what he was thinking. What is this? And treat me like this. And treat me like this. I'm somebody. I come all this way, and he don't even come out. And they send word to him, and he said, "Yeah," he said, "go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and you'll be cleansed." But the Jordan, dirty,
muddy Jordan. And he says, we got better rivers back at home than that. They run clear up there. And I'm going to get myself in that. This is foolishness and I've had enough of it. And I'm out of here. Do you know he almost lost his blessing because he was too important to do something small? Folks, you know what? God wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to humble ourselves. I have been blessed with some of the smallest little old things. We used to take turns putting wood in the stove at home. We have an outside stove in the wintertime. And it was my turn for about 2 months in the winter to go down there every night and put wood in it. And it'd last all day, all night. And then the next day, well, then the children would come in. They'd put wood in it. But, well, I was the one I was supposed to do it. You know how many times, old winter night, I remember sometimes they'd be 10 inches of snow and just a pouring cold. But my house is nice and cozy. And I'll go in and get in and get in bed and pull them covers up and lay my head down. And I didn't put wood in the stove. I didn't put wood in the stove. I had to get up, drive down there. You know, my inclination at first was to just put a couple pieces in. You know what I found out? I found out the best thing to do to that was to humble myself before the Lord. I'm doing this job. I'm not doing it just for people. I'm doing this for the Lord. You know, when I got the attitude that I'm doing this for the Lord, I'd go down there and I would get them coals all spread out. And I'd put a piece in there and I'd get another one in there and I'd put it in good and I'd do it until I could fill that thing up real nice and good and do the very best job I could and close that door. You know how many times I walked away there saying, thank you, Lord, for being with me. I feel so good in my soul. Yeah, it's cold and I had to get out of bed, but you know how good I feel in my soul that I could do something for God Almighty. Jesus that hung on the cross, I was able to do some little old thing. What a privilege it was to be able to do something for the Lord. Just humble yourself down. You know, there's so many little things that the Lord, it's just little things. I mean, to be honest with you, it isn't a job for everybody, but somebody's got to do those little jobs, don't they? I mean, the bathrooms really do need cleaned. Sometimes. Do you know, there's people that just wouldn't do it. It's beneath them. But I want to tell you, you'll find a great blessing there in those kind of a place of just being a servant. You remember what they said to him? Master, if he would have asked you some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Now think of this. He comes in there and here's a different scene. The prophet comes out and says, so, you want to be healed, huh? Yeah. Well, there's a mountain over there that, as far as I know, nobody's climbed it. You go up there and get an egg out of that eagle's nest up there and bring it back. Do a few things that's worthy of your great status. And we'll see if we can get you healed. He'd have climbed the mountain. He'd have done whatever would have met up to his status. But he couldn't do the easiest, which was just humble yourself. Do you know how many fights would be dissolved if the people had just humbled themselves? You know how many things would be taken care of in families if people would just humble themselves and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You know how many people would do that? How much better it would be? Pride. What does the scripture say? It's like it's the coals for the burning, isn't it? Pride is the contention. It's the fuel for it. It's what fuels contention. Well, Naaman finally, yeah, I would. And so Naaman goes, and I wonder what that was like for him. In my mind, it's got to be this way. I don't know. In my mind,
He just didn't slip off and do it by himself. In my mind, here's all these people coming. All right, here we go. One comes out. How many times did he say? Seven. Oh, my. Here we go again. Seven times. How humiliating. How humiliating just to go and do something foolish like that. He come up the seventh time. Sister Mary, didn't it say that his flesh was like the flesh of a child? The leprosy was gone and he had skin like a baby skin back on him. Folks, he got rewarded. For humbling himself before the Lord, he got rewarded, a great reward of healing. Do you know, we're not so worried today. We are, but it's not about the body now. There's leprosy of the soul. And what it takes to get rid of it is obedience before the Lord. And the Lord's calling. I want to ask you something. Why isn't more people saved? What keeps them from being saved? What a plan! Y'all benefit. You get the benefit of it here. You get the benefit of it over there. It's all benefit here. And the only thing it costs you is your pride. It costs you your pride. That's why people don't want it. Because it costs them their pride. Pride in the world is exalted. They say to people, you need to be proud. You need to be number one. They teach them from the time they're little in school. They're number one. They go around on their sports team. We're number one. But guess what? There's only one number one. And it ain't you. There's only one number one, and it ain't you. It's Jesus, and the rest of us can be number two. But he's number one. There's nobody like him. Ever. So Lord, help us tonight. I'm going to talk to another king. His name was Saul. The children of Israel wanted a king. The Lord hadn't designed it that way. The Lord wanted to be king of the people. But the people wanted a king. You remember how the prophet wept? And the Lord came to him and said, they haven't rejected you. They rejected me. But he gave him a king. So he sought out a man named Saul. Saul was a humble man. Saul was a man that would hide from the spotlight. Well, he made a king out of him. You know, those kind of positions can get to a feller. Well, you think about it. A king ain't like our government, where you have to go through checks and balances. I guess in a king do what a king wants, can he? I mean, if a king says, I don't like you, I think I'll have you killed, I think he'd have you killed. He don't have to give you a reason why, he just can do it, because he's king. And so Saul is king. Only one, I suppose, that he had to answer to was God. There is a great justice about this whole thing, folks. A great justice. You can pick on somebody because they're smarter than you. Bullies do it all the time. But there's a justice about it, that there's a God that said, I'm going to reward plentifully the proud doer. There was a man that I knew is a big man. Big old healthy guy. And I remember there was another man that was not near his size that this guy didn't like. We was playing a softball game one time, and I remember the guy he hit the ball. His name was Carl. Carl hits the ball and he runs around and he takes a real wide way around the second base because this other fella was standing wide. He wasn't even looking towards the fella and the guy come up there and I mean he hit him. He hit him and done that because he could. And I remember watching it. He was bigger than him. There wasn't nothing that other fella could do about it. I knew looking at it, ain't nothing he gonna do about that. So he didn't. A couple years later, this guy that probably weighed 240, 250 pounds, weighed about 98. He had got cancer in that process time. He got cancer. And I remember thinking, as an unsaved, carnal-thinking young man, who you going to knock down now, big boy? You've done been knocked down yourself. You know, that's life, isn't it? Don't think yourself that you just because you've got the upper hand. There is a justice about things, I'm going to tell you, you may get by with it on this earth, but you'll meet a holy God one of these days to have to give an account to it. And He's proclaimed He's going to come quickly and His reward is with Him to give to every man according to his work. To the deeds done in the body, He's going to reward every one of us. And if we don't humble ourselves down before God, we're going to have to tell God why we think we're better than He is. And why we didn't pay attention to His Word. And why we never did give in to His Spirit. Do you know there's a great justice? Saul run into the justice of God. King Saul was a king that could do what he wanted. So what did he do? What he wanted. If I want to make a sacrifice, I'll make one. Prophet or no prophet. Commandment or no commandment. That was foolish. You better pay attention to God. Oh, you can slight the prophet, O king. You better be careful when you slight the Word of God, because it's going to come back after you one of these days. You better be obedient. You remember that Saul, a man chosen by God, began to be a man that done everything but what God wanted him to do. He began to chase David, the anointed. David had been anointed and Saul chased him. Remember how he chased him? You remember how he needed an answer? Saul needed an answer one time and he went to the witch of Endor to summons up. No longer could he ask God. No longer could he call for a prophet to get him an answer or try to get the mind of God. He had to go to a witch to try to conjure it up. Oh, I'm going to tell you. Oh, Saul went a long ways away. And how David sang the song and wept for him and Jonathan after they was killed in battle and cried, "How the mighty are fallen. Oh, how the mighty are fallen." What he could have been, folks, what he could have been versus what he ended up being. Oh, David never slandered his name, but I'm going to tell you, Saul was a disaster as a king because he didn't follow the Lord. He wouldn't humble himself down. Do you remember when he came back from battle and he had David with him? And the women run out into the street. And they begin to sing and dance. And they sung the songs and shouted, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. You know, he envied in his heart. Instead of humbling himself, he envied. He got jealous over David. That's what caused the whole things. Folks, it's a great ironic tragedy that David could kill his 10,000s because Saul was killed by a foreign enemy. And who did he have on hand that could have defended him against it? David! David killed his 10,000s! The Lord's hand was on him! Why would anybody in a leadership like that not want a David? David was honorable. David loved Saul and Jonathan. David would have been loyal to them all the way through and he could kill his 10,000s. God anointed him. Folks, do you know there's been cases to where people have been jealous over people that God had His hands on? Could you imagine being jealous over somebody that God put His hand on and that he could maybe have the gift of healing or something? And God gave it to you for your own good? God gave Saul a man called David to be under him and take a command. David would have took it. And how blessed Saul would have been, but he would not humble himself down just because some silly women sung and shouted a silly few words. Lord, help us to humble ourselves. God will allow in your life what God knows you need in your life. Do you know God can bring people in your life that will challenge you if you'll humble yourself? Sometimes the Lord wants people to just humble themselves before God and get the benefit that what God wants to do for them in their lives. And sometimes it isn't what we think it is. All the Lord's wanting us to humble ourselves and realize that He is God. I need the Lord tonight. I need the Lord to help me. I don't know everything. I don't know part of everything. I need help. I don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't either. We can be so also proud tonight. But you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow to take everything from you. These storms that are hitting across the country. You see one of them and you'll see how big you feel like you are. Do you know that's not even the Lord's little finger? But they're challenging. It's all, aren't they, Sister Dina? They're all striking. They're something to consider. Great, great force. That ain't nothing to God. The Lord was in a ship one time sleeping. And His disciples was with Him. And there arose a tempest in the sea. And they got scared. And went to the Lord and said silly words. Careth not that we perish? Those were ridiculous words. You can't know the Lord at all and speak a word like that. Careth not that we perish? He came to this earth that we wouldn't perish. He just wants us to have faith in Him. Humble ourselves down and quit trying to do it all ourselves and believe in God. You remember the story? He said to them, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And He, the Lord, Master of earth and sky, Master of storm and wind, says, "Peace be still." And there was a great calm. I wonder how long it took it to get calm. Anybody ever think about that? Maybe in the next couple hours the wind kind of settled down. He said, "Peace be still," and the Scripture said it, and there was a great calm. It stopped at His word. And they're all saying, "What manner of man is this? That even the elements obey His voice." Well, I'm going to tell you, the one that stopped it was the one that started it. The one that started it can stop it. The one that gives us life can keep our life and preserve it. The one that has saved us can keep us saved. The one that gave us the things of life can keep that things in life. But we have a part on it. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and see God's mighty work. Lord, help us tonight that we would humble down and receive the reward of the righteous. Because in closing, I want to tell you, there will be two rewards. There is a reward that the Lord will say to those that were faithful, enter in to the blessings of the Lord. Enter in to the blessings of my Father. There'll be a reward at the end of this to where I won't have to worry about the fact that I can't hear very well anymore. And that my eyes are gone. And Sister Purvis is not going to have to worry about weak eyes anymore. And Brother Alvoid ain't going to have to worry about it. And the rest of you, Brother Crummy ain't going to have to worry about those aches and pains these days. See, there's going to come a time you ain't going to have to worry about those things. There's going to be a reward for those that's willing to humble here and acknowledge Him as God. But I want to tell you too, folks, if you hold your pride against salvation and don't humble it down and admit you're wrong if you're wrong, and admit that you need God for a Savior, there's going to be a reward. There's going to be a reward for the proud, and it is going to be manifold evil. It's going to be exaggerated plenty of bad things. It is going to be. And I'm going to end with this thought. There was in the Scriptures a rich man who fared sumptuously every day. He was robed in purple. And he fared sumptuous every day. He had plenty. And there was a man also called Lazarus. There was a poor man that sat at the rich man's gate and was afflicted with sores and sorrows. I think Scripture said that the dogs came and licked his sores. And it says that Lazarus dies and the rich man dies. And in torment. Now Lazarus dies and goes to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man dies and in hell lifts up his eyes being in torment. I wonder how much What would a man do then? Didn't sound to me like this rich man was a very proud man. I mean, it seemed like he was real easy to say, go get Lazarus, that he might dip. I need Lazarus. Can you imagine this rich man humbling himself down and saying, I need Lazarus? I wonder how many times this rich man walked by Lazarus in the days of his plenty. It's pretty easy then to start trying to be humble. Wasn't much to keep him now. He called for help of Lazarus. I need Lazarus to be by, close by. I'm going to tell you, the rich man needed Lazarus in the days of his life. You understand that? God put Lazarus in the rich man's gate for his salvation. Because the given here is that the Lazarus didn't go to heaven just because he was poor. He went to heaven because he had faith in the Son of God. He had the answers of life, and between the gate and the house was a distance too much for a rich man to travel. All he had to do was humble himself. If he would have humbled himself in this life, he wouldn't have been humbling himself down in the next life begging for water. I believe that's a true story, and I believe the rich man is there today begging for water, and he's not too proud to do it. And he never gets a drop. And folks, that is the reward of being proud. I had desire that you'd pray for me. I want the reward of the righteous. I want to see what all Brother Samuels used to say. I don't know what hell's like, and I don't want to find out. And I'll say it too. You pray for me.